Evidence and Answers begins right now. This is Evidence and Answers radio broadcast with our host, Pat Zukeran. Pat is an author, teacher, and international speaker in the area of Christian apologetics, the defense of the Christian faith. In this episode, we explore one of the most debated artifacts in biblical archaeology, the James Ossuary. Featuring Dr. Joseph Holden and Dr. Pat Zukeran, we unpack the inscription that reads, James, son of Joseph, brother of Jesus, and why it has sparked global controversy. Is it authentic evidence connected to the family of Jesus or a later forgery? Now on to part one of this two-part broadcast entitled The James Ossuary.
Joining me on the broadcast is Dr. Joseph Holden, author, pastor, and co-founder of Veritas International University, and Dr. Patrick Zukeran, author, pastor, and founder of Evidence and Answers, and a doctoral student in VIU School of Archaeology. Welcome, gentlemen.
Hey, always great to be with you both.
Yes, always a pleasure to be with you guys.
Well, we're in a series on archaeology and the Bible. To help us in the conversation, we're using Dr. Holden and Dr. Geisler's book, The Popular Handbook of Archaeology and the Bible, as our guide. We encourage you to get a copy for further insight on the topics we're covering. Last week, we looked at archaeological evidence for the Hittites. If you missed the broadcast, be sure to tune in. Today, we'll turn our attention back to the New Testament, unpacking something we introduced a couple of weeks ago, and that is ossuaries. So, Joe, let's just begin with the basic. Remind our listeners what an ossuary is, and do we have any mention of them in the Bible?
Well, ossuaries are small burial bone boxes. Sometimes they're made out of limestone or a type of stone, and they measure only about 18 inches long and about 12 inches high, and they were just big enough to fit the largest bone in the body, the femur in it, along with the skull and all the other bones of a person whose flesh had already decomposed off the body. They kind of call that reburial, if you will. They collect those bones off the burial benches in a tomb complex, place them in these small stone boxes called ossuaries, and then they place them into a niche, usually either into a wall or off to the side. Sometimes there's even an inscription on the side of the box. But these are burial bone boxes that were really exclusively used by the Jews in Israel between about the 2nd century BC and about 70 AD, immediately after the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple. We don't see really any more of these ossuaries being created. And there are many of them. There's some 10,000 such ossuaries that's been discovered. Only about 100 of those 10,000 have inscriptions on them. And usually the inscriptions follow those families who were either very wealthy or they had a high position within government or the religious system of the day, like a high priest and so forth. And there is really no mention of these ossuaries or bone boxes in the Bible, but we do have mentions of tombs. And in large part, these tombs would be ultimately containing these ossuaries off to the side. And today you can go to Israel, especially in Jerusalem area, you can go walk around the different sites and see certain ossuaries that are on display for public view, either at the Israeli Museum or there's some over there at the Mount of Olives. And they are really an interesting and unique feature to the Jewish people between about the 2nd century BC and 70 AD.
Yeah, thanks for that, Joe. Great summary there. Appreciate it. Well, Pat, on that note, on the broadcast where we introduced ossuaries, you mentioned that you've been to a room where you've seen entire collections of ossuaries. So walk us through that. Describe for us what you saw and experienced as you saw these bone boxes.
Yes, Brian, you know, most ossuaries you're going to see are in the museum. So we're in the museum seeing, you know, just a few ossuaries. And most of the ossuaries were used, as Joe said, you know, in the 1st century around the Jerusalem area or the Judea area, but close to Jerusalem. Well, we were walking from a church called Dominus Flevit. This is a teardrop-shaped kind of church. It's located on the western slope of the Mount of Olives, overlooking the old city of Jerusalem there. And the Latin name Dominus Flevit means the Lord wept. And so tradition has it is this is where Jesus and his disciples stood when he wept over the city of Jerusalem. Well, as we were coming from that church and we were going to make our way down the Mount of Olives, we're on the western slope on top of where all the graves are, Jewish graves are there on the Mount of Olives. There's a storage facility there. And I looked, there's a fence surrounding it. And I looked and there are dozens of ossuaries in there. And these were from the first century. And they're in all kinds of various conditions being studied by the archaeologists there. Some were plain, some have decorative engravings on them. Some you could see a name carved on them. Others seem kind of plain. They were made of limestone. And I had had our guide stop, and we could see some really up close. And I was explaining to everyone what an ossuary was. So if you're in Jerusalem, that's a great place to go and look at some of these ossuaries right there. There's dozens of them right in that facility.
Fascinating. And imagine going to the church, the Lord Wept. You know, someone, hey, what church do you go to? Well, I go to the Lord Wept Church. Fascinating, really interesting. Well, Joe, why we're bringing up this topic of ossuaries again is because there is what some would say a controversial ossuary that gained a lot of attention, not just within archaeological circles, but it really has gained a lot of press throughout the years. National Geographic and others have looked into it, and that is the James ossuary. So we're going to spend the majority of our time really looking at this one specific ossuary. So to start, just give us some background on it and tell us why it initially was so controversial.
Well, the James ossuary is one of the earliest and probably the most important discovery relating to the historicity of Jesus himself and two other members of his family. This particular bone box is made of limestone. It dates to the first century. It was made known to the public in 2002. And what's so unique about this particular ossuary is that it has an Aramaic inscription on the side of it. It reads, James, son of Joseph, brother of Jesus. Now, this is monumental in the archaeological world because here you have an inscription from the family of Jesus itself. And if the inscription is authentic in its entirety and recognized as such, we have a clear first century AD testimony of Jesus, his father, Joseph, and his half-brother, James. And we all know who James is through the scripture. He was the one who was the leader of the Jerusalem church. He presided over the Jerusalem council in the book of Acts chapter 15. Josephus, the early Jewish historian, wrote about him and says that he was put to death by certain Jewish leaders, and it was about the year 62 AD that James was put to death. And when they dated this bone box, it dated to about 62, 63 in that area, but ultimately a problem emerged. There was an indictment that was brought against the owner of the bone box. His name was Oded Galon. And he was an antiquities dealer. And there was a charge or indictment brought in 2004 that said that the last part of this Aramaic inscription, namely the brother of Jesus part of it, was a forgery. Someone claimed that that same bone box did not have the second half of the inscription when they looked at it earlier, but now all of a sudden has this extra part of the inscription. And so the state of Israel and the Israeli Antiquities Authority brought this indictment at the time. And the big debate was, is the phrase brother of Jesus a forgery? And if it's a forgery, then this antiquities dealer was going to be slapped with charges, possible big fines and jail time and so forth. But after 5 or 6 years of witnesses and experts and exhibits, some 400 exhibits were presented, 52 expert witnesses, 138 additional witnesses, 116 hearings about this bone box, 12,000 pages of court transcripts, all to find Oded Galon to drop the charges because the expert saw that there was an authentic inscription there that was in the second half. They brought every expert from all over the world to ask the two questions. Is this an authentic part of the inscription when it says brother of Jesus? And secondly, was it written by the same hand as the first half of the inscription? And if the answer is yes to that, then we can say that this was authentic. Well, in the end, to make a long story short, after all these expert witnesses were called, in epigraphy, paleography, ancient writing sources, and so forth, they found no reason to doubt the authenticity of this James Ossuary inscription.
Fascinating. We're going to delve into this a little bit more in the broadcast, particularly how archaeological artifacts can make their way to court and do make their way to court, because some are really that important, and this is one of those. Well, Pat, as with many things in archaeology, some archaeologists are against the authenticity of the James Ossuary. Can you walk us through some of the arguments against its authenticity?
Yes, you know, the major group that raised opposition to the authenticity of the James Ossuary is a significant group, is the Israeli Archaeological Society there, the IAA. And the inscription is in Aramaic, as Joe said, the James, son of Joseph, brother of Jesus. And so the ossuary is confirmed to be first century. What is debated is the name engraved, especially the latter part, brother of Jesus. This group felt that it was perhaps added later, or even some kind of modern forgery. And so the case against it primarily was that the ossuary was obtained by Oded Golan at an antiquities market. And so the difficulty there is that there's no historical provenance, since it was obtained from an antiquities dealer. And what provenance means is a history of where the artifact was discovered and a historical history of this artifact. So without a secure archaeological context, you know, it wasn't found at an excavation, that would make dating and authenticity a little bit harder to verify. And since it was found at an antiquities market, it was owned by Oded Golan, the risk of forgery then is significantly higher. And some paleographers argue that the inscription, the latter half, the brother of Jesus, they were arguing appears to be different from the style James, son of Joseph. They were arguing that James, son of Joseph, seems to be carved in a more formal script, but the brother of Jesus seems to be more in a style they would consider cursive. Also, the final argument really was the absence or inconsistency of patina found in the brother of Jesus engraving. And patina, it's a thin layer of biogenic material found on most artifacts. These are small microorganisms that secrete a material called patina, and it's found on artifacts and in places like grooves where there are inscriptions there. So where there's a consistent amount equally distributed in the artifact and in the grooves, that would point to authenticity. And some of these guys were arguing that there's an inconsistency of patina in the last phrase, the brother of Jesus. And so that was some of the arguments there. You know, on a minor note, there was supposedly eyewitness testimony from a guy named Joe Zayas, an anthropologist. He claims to have seen the ossuary without that phrase, the brother of Jesus. But on trial, when he was cross-examined, it was discovered that his testimony was proven false. But those are some of the arguments that were raised against the authenticity of the ossuary being authentic. That last part there, brother of Jesus, some assumed it was a forgery or later addition.
Yeah, and it's just fascinating that they will go to such detail to look at the patina and other aspects to really determine if this is authentic. And it's really important, because if it is authentic, as Joe pointed out earlier, it really is a monumental discovery, because it does discuss the family of Jesus. So, Joe, let's now move to the arguments for its authenticity. We've briefly looked at those, you know, against it. Let's say look at what scholars show why it's authentic.
Sure. There's probably a dozen or more lines of evidence that can lead us to believe that this is an authentic inscription. Number one, the size of the ossuary tells us that it belonged to an adult male, which is consistent with James. The name on the ossuary reveals that the person was a male and has the same name as Jesus's half-brother, father, and Jesus himself. You have this, what Pat mentioned was the patina, this microbial film that collects over objects like an ossuary over centuries sitting there in a cave and so forth. This patina, unfortunately, was disturbed. And this was a big thing in the court case was, is that the IAA put a silicone mold over the inscription. And when they did that, they removed the silicone to get an impression of the inscription. They pulled off a lot of the patina from the grooves of the inscription itself. And so it was very difficult for them to discern where this ancient patina was, because if you have patina in the grooves of the inscription, then it would appear to be authentic. If it's not there, it would appear to be a recent forgery in the modern day. And so what happened was they had to call in a man named Wolfgang Krumbin from Oldenburg University in Germany. He's the leading expert on biogeology. And through his research, he found ancient patina in the entire inscription. That was a very pivotal point in demonstrating that this ossuary was indeed authentic. And then you have those who really try to dismiss the authenticity of the ossuary by saying, well, Jesus was a common name, Joseph was a common name, and of course, James or Jacob was a common name back in that day. But they called in a statistician from Tel Aviv University. His name was Camille Fuchs. And what he did was give conservative estimates on a growing population right there in Jerusalem between 6 AD and 70 AD. And he took out all the minus all the women. He took out the children who would not have reached manhood by the time James died in the early 60s. He took out all non-Jews. And then he considered the fame of Jesus as James' half-brother, and he brought it to a statistic that says it's 95% assurance that this belonged to only 1.71 people in Jerusalem at the time of James's death. So in other words, it's less than two people was the final answer by Camille Fuchs, because he triangulated the father of James, which was Joseph, the brother of Jesus, and then there was James at that time. So he eliminated all the others, and he brought it down to basically it had to have belonged to this individual named James of the family of Jesus, because Jesus wouldn't be on the inscription unless he was semi-famous, that he was well-known and so forth. That's how he made it onto it. And that's why we can say all three of these people belong to the family of Jesus.
Yeah, well, it really is just a fascinating artifact, and it has a lot of mystery surrounded in, you know, that makes it very interesting for lay people in this, but it is fascinating. Thanks for that, Joe. Well, Pat, I know we're getting a little more technical, but you both, Joe and you, have said, hey, we've looked at patina, we've looked at different things. And all of these are analysis that archaeologists and other scientists conduct on ancient artifacts. So I think this is a good time to really approach the subject of what are some of these more scientific analysis that are used to determine if something is legitimate or authentic?
Yeah, Brian, you know, this is one of the most well-studied and most extensively studied coffins or bone box in ancient history here. The James Ossuary has gone through a battery of study, and some of the major types of analysis included, as we talked about, patina analysis. And really that's studying this thin crust using microscopy, you know, electron microscopy there, looking at the chemical composition and testing and isotope analysis here, this thin layer of microbes there that cover the ossuary, some on the outside, but also in the engravings. And so electron microscopy was used there to study the patina to see if there was a consistency or inconsistency there. And of course, since most of the debate centers around the inscription, archaeologists confirm that indeed the ossuary is first century. The debate largely centered around the inscription. And so there was epigraphic or paleographic analysis. This is studying the shape, style, and spacing of the lettering there, whether it matches first century Judean inscriptions here, and whether the phrase brother of Jesus appears stylistically different. And so different conclusions were arrived from the different positions there. I have friends, actually, I've never seen the original James ossuary, only pictures of it. I had friends who have seen the original and got to see it up close. And some did say they felt that the brother of Jesus part might have been slightly different, but that's up for debate here. Also, tool mark and engraving analysis, looking at the grooves of the inscription for signs of what kind of carving tools did they use. And so microscopic imaging of the incision marks are compared with ancient engraving techniques there, trying to see if maybe there are modern tools or different kinds of tools that were used in the inscription here. And some would say, oh, you know, the second part, that debated part, seems to be different or a later kind of engraving. Others were saying, nope, they seem to be a consistency there. There's material and geological testing to confirm the ossuary itself is ancient, and they all confirmed that it is a first century box here. They looked at linguistic and grammatical analysis, grammar, syntax, and vocabulary. You know, is it first century here? Are there any signs of forgery? And it seemed to be linguistically correct for that period. And as Joe mentioned, statistical name frequency analysis. How likely is that exact combination of names, James, son of Joseph, brother of Jesus? And of course, it's significant that you see the phrase brother of. I mean, what that is saying is that the brother of James is someone very significant, maybe even more well-known than the father. And of the hundreds and hundreds of known ossuaries with inscriptions, really there's only one other that contains the inscription of brother of. And it's also from the first century. It bears the inscription, Shimi, son of Isaiah, brother of Hanin. And, you know, New Testament scholar Craig Evans says that when you see that term brother of, then that was a very significant person there, brother there of this deceased person. And then there was forensic examination in the legal proceedings examining the person of Oded Golan. And there are multiple, as Joe said, multiple expert testimonies, cross-examination, scientific reports, things like photographs of the ossuary in Golan's house. He purchased it in the 70s, and there were photographs of it. Did it have that phrase, the brother of Jesus? And all the photographs from the time Golan owned the ossuary has that full phrase in there. And it appears that Golan did not understand the significance of the ossuary in his collection until André Lemaire, one of the most well-respected paleographers there, pointed it out to him when he saw it in 2001. So if Golan didn't know the significance of it, it probably didn't occur to him that, oh, I've got something significant here. Let me add this brother of Jesus phrase, you know, it'll be something of great value. And so all that study went into it, and the court ruled that, you know, as Joe stated, that forgery was not proven. But the court said their conclusions do not confirm their authenticity.
Once again, we've run out of time. Thank you for joining us here on Evidence and Answers. Our goal is to bring you the love of Christ and to equip you in your faith to always be ready to give a response. If you would like to hold an apologetics conference or series of teachings at your facility, contact Pat by calling him in Hawaii. That number is 483-0586, or you may email him through the Evidence and Answers website. That's evidenceandanswers.org. Be sure to browse through our listing of topics on our site. We have everything from atheism to Zen Buddhism. You will also find articles and additional audio for you to listen to or download. An additional location to find Pat's messages is on YouTube. Look up Evidence and Answers and hit the subscribe button. To keep quality broadcasts like Pat's on the air, we rely on generous financial support from you, our listeners. Donating is simple. Just log on at evidenceandanswers.org. Evidence and Answers is grateful for one of our sponsors, the Honolulu Christian Church. If you don't have a home church and are looking for a place to grow in your faith, check out the Honolulu Christian Church. For service times, log in at honoluluchristian.org. Join us again next time on the air or online as we provide compelling reasons for faith in Christ. That's Evidence and Answers with Pat Zukeran.